Shalom Aleichem. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Sota Daf Yud, Sota 10a, pagination is 19. We have on this daf a large discussion about the story of Yehuda and Tamar in Parshas Vayeshev. We know that Yehuda is found in what seems to be a compromising situation in which Tamar, his daughter-in-law from his first two sons, who had since died, so the daughter-in-law remains, and she disguises herself, is the description, and ends up having relations with Yehuda. Later, she's found to be pregnant, and the discussion is that it seems that she acted improperly, that she must have had relations with somebody, and it wasn't until it became clear that the relations was with Yehuda himself that she is allowed to go free from prosecution. The story seems to be a compromising situation for Yehuda. But as we'll see, the Gemara explains that it was orchestrated by Hashem as a very unpredictable way for the Davidic dynasty and eventually Mashiach to emerge. And it's actually considered one of Yehuda's finest moments. Starting from the bottom of the page, about 20 lines up, Ksiv it says, Vayered Shimshon Timnasa, and Shimshon went down to the city of Timna, Uksiv, and conversely it says, Hine Chamich Ola Simnasa. The description by Yehuda is that he's going up to the city of Timna. So the Gemara certainly considers logistics as a possible resolution, why by Shimshon it's described as going down and why by Yehuda it's described as going up. Perhaps there were two cities by the same name, or perhaps the city was on a mountain and you could approach it from one side of the city by going down the mountain, or you could approach the city from the other side coming up the mountain. But the Gemara also gives an answer that goes to the heart of the matter. Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Shimshon shenisgana bo, Shimshon, who was disgraced as a result of going to Timna, ksivba yurida, it's going down, he did something wrong. Yehuda shenis'ala bo, Yehuda, who got uplifted in this town because of the event resulting with Tamar and fathering the dynasty of David, Ksiv Be'aliyah, so it's described as going up. The Pasuk tells us that she sat bePesach Einayim in a way that opens the eyes. At the end of the line, about 8 lines up, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni says that this is referring to a conversation that occurred between Tamar and Yehuda. Shanasna inayim lidvareha. She substantiated her words, her request, kishatava, that she's going to be with Yehuda in relations. She substantiated it. And we see from this conversation what Yehuda was willing to do and what he was not willing to do. Keep in mind that this is a time before the Torah was given, and therefore the laws and the severity might be different, both positive and negative. It might be more strict, it might be less strict than we have it as a result of Torah law. Omar lo, Yehuda said to her when he considered being with her, Shema nachrisat, maybe you're a foreigner, meaning a person who worships idols. Omrale, she said to him, Giyoresani, no, I am what we would call a convert. Now, the Rambam describes that in their time, in the time of Avraham, and presumably for a few years, decades, maybe even generations afterwards, there were people who are Anshei Beis Avraham, people who affiliated with the monotheism preached by Avraham. And Tamar is saying, Giyoresani. Apparently Yehuda would not be willing to live with a woman who was a worshipper of idols. But Tamar says, Giyoresani, I affiliate with that monotheistic creed of Avraham. He still doesn't know who she is. Shema Eshes Ishat. Maybe you're a married woman. I wouldn't be with a married woman. Amrele Penuya Ani. She says, I'm single. Yehuda continues, Shema Kibel Bach Avich Kiddushin. Is it possible that your father married you off and you're not aware? Amrele Yisoma Ani. She answered, I'm an orphan and my father had no opportunity to marry me off, so that I know for sure I'm single. Shema Temeya At, maybe you are Temeya, meaning a Nida. Omrele Tehora Ani, she says, no, on the contrary, I'm Tehora. Apparently, she's saying, I went to Mikvah. Presumably, the customs and practices of the Anshei Beis Avraham, of this creed of Avraham, were well known, or at least well known in certain circles. And Tamar maintains that she belongs to this persuasion, if you will, of Avraham. Moving on to Amud Beis, about 10 lines down, the Gemara explains that Yehuda did not recognize her, Shekisisa Paneha Beveis Chamiya, because she was extremely modest in the home of her father-in-law, and when she was married to Aaron Onan, the first two sons of Yehuda, she didn't interact much in terms of being noticed by Yehuda. He wasn't able to recognize her because she was always veiled and modest. Now there's a famous Gemara which appears in a number of places. Over here it can be found at the end of the small lines, about 6 lines up from where it gets wide. And the Gemara plays on that event in Parshas Vayeshev, where Yehuda declares that she deserves what seems to be, by the text here, seems to be the death penalty. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi, Rabbi Yochanan taught, Noach lo la'odom shayapel atzma l'soch kivshan ho'esh, it's better that a person should be thrown into a fiery furnace, val yalbim p'nei chaveira barabim, and he should not embarrass his friend publicly in order to save himself. Minolan mitamar, the source of the severity to embarrass somebody and therefore be willing to deal with significant problems, is learned from Tamar. Because when Yehuda paskins that she deserves the death penalty, she only says, Hakerno, recognize the collateral that you gave me at the time, and do what needs to be done, meaning admit that you're the one who had relations with me, and I'm not just a zona, a prostitute who was fooling around, and that's why you are thinking of punishing me so severely. There are a number of questions over here, but predominantly, why would Yehuda declare the death penalty upon Tamar? What did she do wrong, even for her to be free in an immoral way? But if she wasn't a married woman, why would he impose the death penalty? And secondly, if indeed her having relations with him exonerates her, then if Yehuda doesn't admit to it, he's a rotzeach, he's a murderer. Why wouldn't she be allowed to expose him and prove that the relations was with him? What's very helpful over here is the Netziv. The Netziv writes that Yehuda was punishing her kima moshel shebizisa oso, like a ruler whom somebody embarrassed. V'haya haminig, and the common practice, the law at that time was sheoso shofet don lefi chavodo, that the judge, the leader, the king equivalent, was allowed to judge according to his honor. And therefore, Tamar, who was known as the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, simply for fooling around, could end up with the death penalty if Yehuda stands his ground and says, "You embarrassed me and brought shame on my family by being a daughter-in-law who fooled around." Tamar, therefore, could not call Yehuda a rotzeach, because indeed she embarrassed him. If she would expose what happened, she indeed was with him. It was her initiative to dress up or whatever she did to attract Yehuda and have it that Yehuda does not recognize her. And she didn't acknowledge who she was. She set him up. And therefore, she really is guilty if Yehuda stands his ground. She was hoping that Yehuda would admit, but she was not willing to embarrass him by exposing him. Indeed, if she would have pulled out the collateral in a way and said, "This is yours," and embarrassed him, she would have gotten off, because popular vote would have been, now that we know that Yehuda did this, we're not going to honor him and we're not going to impose the death penalty that he wants on this woman. But she wasn't willing to do that because she knew that even if politically she could get away with it, but she had embarrassed Yehuda, she set him up for it, and she was guilty unless he forgives. The Gemara tells us, based on the Pasuk, Vayaker Yehuda Vayomer Tzadka Mimeni, second wide line, and Yehuda acknowledged and said, "She's righteous. It was from me. It's in the family. She didn't do wrong." And the Gemara tells us that Yosef, who sanctified God's name by acting morally under compromising situations, got a hey, the name of Hashem added to his name. The Pasuk says, "Behosef," in one place. But Yehuda is even greater. His entire name speaks the name of Hashem, the Yud, the Hey, then the Vav, then the Hey. It is a very intense expression of Hashem's name. Kulo al Shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, entirely on the name of Hashem. And when he said, "Tzadka mimeni," she's righteous, Hashem said, "Hitzalta Tamar ushnei vaneha min ha'or," I'm giving you credit for saving Tamar and her two children, the twins she was bearing, from the fire. The upshot of the entire story is described by the Gemara here. Tzadka mimeni, Hashem is the one who said, "Mimeni, it's all from me." Mimeni yatsu kivushim, these hidden things of how the dynasty of David and eventually Mashiach will come, was all from me. And the Mefarshim say the reason, so that no one can say, "I saw it coming, it was predictable." It's entirely in the hands of Hashem himself. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.